David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacy from The Advisor. And today I'm so excited because we have a very special guest. It's Andy from Andy's Way. And Andy is a part of our podcast community. He has his own podcast on The Advisor. So check out his podcast and all the podcasts he's done previously. He really tackles a lot of important issues that could really help you grow as a person. So check out his other podcasts. And today he's going to talk about something that's amazing, and it's the power of change. And this is something that we all need to work on change. We every day, working on change can improve our lives dramatically. And, he's going to tell you a little about what he does, and he's going to go into the power of change, and you're going to hear some amazing advice and tools and strategies to help you grow as a person and be the person you want to be, and especially be happy, because that's what the goal is in life. We want to be happy individuals, productive individuals, and we just want to live life to the fullest. And Andy's here to show you how. So Andy, take it away. Tell everybody a little about yourself, what Andy's Way is, and let's get into that power of change, because I'm excited.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much, Stacey. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. Andy's Way is really always adventure. It's a play on my name. My name is A.L. Way. So Always Adventure is my company. The website's Always Adventure Life. And that's really how I approach change and everyday life. So excited to engage in the conversation. We've always had a great time in all of our conversations. So happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Now, change is so important, and there's so many different aspects of change. And I know you have certain things you want to really tackle today. And so let's go into change. What in your mind, are the important things that we really have to focus on when change comes to mind? What's the first thing in your mind that hits you that really you feel that is necessary to talk about?
I think that a couple of things. It's a rapidly changing world that we're living in. One of the first things that comes to mind is technology and the impact on our culture.
Yes.
Another thing is that nobody necessarily along the way, as we're growing up, moving through life, it's not talked about as something that it's not a tool of adversity for us to use. We're not talking about our discipline. We're not talking about mental strength or fortitude or values. Change is not something really kind of acknowledged as something that we're going to face as, yes. And we're not given necessarily the tools to and how to overcome change and how to adjust. And so those two things, I think, alone are top of mind for me.
Yeah, I feel like there are so many things that you read on the internet, and it talks about this and it talks about that. But one thing I see a lack of is people don't really talk about the steps that of change, because change is very hard for a lot of people. It's we get set in our ways, like we were talking about, or they fear change, because what's going to happen if I change? Will I like myself? What's going to happen, along the way? Am I going to meet my demons? Am I, what's going to happen, And a lot of people will, they like to stay in their little cocoon and they don't want to get out of that cocoon. But, change is necessary. We are a changing world, and there's no way really of avoiding it.
Yeah, I think one of the things that comes to mind right away, immediately, is that change does not mean that we lose ourselves.
Right.
I am a creature of habit. I relate to this intimately. I am definitely a creature of habit, but change has been very present in my life along the way, multiple times over the years, not little changes, big changes I was kind of forced into.
Right.
And so I was kind of forced into how to manage that and how to respond to that change. And so that's been an ongoing kind of piece of my life growing up and ongoing. And now I've learned how to kind of embrace that and use it as a tool And so change does not mean that you become something different. You can actually use it as a tool to become more of what you really care about and who you feel you really are.
Right. And I think one of the biggest things too, is that people, in order to change, people have to really realize who they are as a person. You know, they have to understand themselves, you know, and then, you know, that could be challenging in itself, you know, and then really look at themselves honestly, you know, and see, you know, what about myself do I need to change to make myself a better person? The one biggest thing is that we hate to admit our flaws, you know, and so many people stay in denial because, you know, we all make mistakes in life. We all, you know, have made bad choices, but, you know, and we all may have characteristics that we really need to work on, but, you know, change is such an important factor of everybody's lives. It can help you enhance in so many ways, mentally, physically, spiritually, in your workforce. You know, it's a necessary tool. And like you said, things are constantly changing. And ever so, you know, lately, we've made a huge jump in technology. We've went from one extremity to the next. And it's like, you know, if you don't keep up with the times and you don't work on change, you know, you fall back. And then that's when you kind of get stuck. And then I think a negative emotions start kind of play into it too.
For sure. You know, before we started recording, we touched on reacting versus responding, right? And sometimes we can slip into allowing ourselves to be positioned where we kind of react to life versus maintaining a posture of being able to respond to changes as they occur, which is very different.
Yes.
And with this rapidly changing world, I think one of the things I wanted to touch on today in our conversation is that life is changing faster than ever. The impact of technology, not only on our everyday life and our personal lives, but also on our workplace, right? Yes. If we think back to just as recently as COVID, Zoom meetings and virtual meetings and working virtually from home. And what does that look like in our home space where we're supposed to feel the most comfortable and the most safe? It begins to kind of all get blurred, and it's an entirely new experience. So how do we respond to that? I know that my home office is open. And during that time, my wife was working from home, and she had one of the bedrooms became her office. And when she was done with the meeting, right, that door was closed. She was working from home, and then she would open the door and she would be done with her work.
Yeah.
But I'm over here in an open office in the front of the house, and the kitchen's right over here. And right hands, she's making lunch, she's sawing on something, it's loud. I get distracted, you know, I'm like, honey, you know, like, I'm totally, you're killing me over here. You know, it became kind of a thing. Like, I can't wait for you to go back to the office. And, of course, we're not alone in that experience, but how do we, you know, are we capable of that kind of cognitive and behavioral flexibility? And one of the questions that I've started to ask is, how do we cultivate greater cognitive and behavioral flexibility so that we can better adjust to this rapidly changing world? So I think we're all having that experience.
Yeah, and I think that's a great question. How do we change, you know, in this rapidly changing world, you know? And so many people are afraid of change. So many people just don't know where to go next. You know, you have all these things that are coming out. You know, AI has been here since, I think, the 1970s, but now they're using it not just for the military, they're using it for everything, you know? And, you know, and people are just starting to understand it and learn it. Some people are abusing it, but, you know, it's just, you have to really learn how to, like, you know, change. Like, you know, people are communicating differently. We have a new generation that thinks and reacts to things differently. So you really, in order to have that balance and to have positive change, you really have to take, you know, a bunch of different generations, a bunch of ways that we were all taught differently, and somehow come to that, like you were saying, that compromise, that middle, you know, that we lack in a lot of things, you know.
It's a pretty polarizing world that we live in, but I don't know that that's proving to be the best approach, right?
Right, exactly.
And while that may be the tendency, we don't have to just surrender to that. We do have power of choice and freedom to control our experience in many ways. And so I think one of the things that we can do I know this. When we cultivate a deeper level of trust in ourselves, we're better able to trust in others and in the experience that we're having in the world around us.
Yes.
And so there is a way, you know, to cultivate that. And one thing that we can do that I talk about a lot is just practicing getting uncomfortable in little ways. Like we can do little things that make little adjustments that are are palatable. We can take them on, and they're not the end of the world. They're little shifts, and those are less risky, but they still help to move the needle in our ability to trust in ourselves that we'll be okay. And once we again cultivate that deeper level of trust in ourselves, we're more willing to trust in others, and that kind of helps to lower that guard and trust in more open lines of communication and relationship. There's a whole body of work there that I'm pretty immersed in, and I know that it works. I've seen it in action. But cultivating greater levels of trust in ourselves is one of the strongest tools that I know of in helping to break down or kind of soften the impact of these big shifts that are kind of being oppressed upon us as we move through this kind of technology innovation era.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Now, what are some of the tools and the strategies for you know, developing a deeper level of trust? Because, you know, that's something a lot of people struggle with. You know, and there was a point in my life, too, that I struggled with it. And sometimes I do struggle with it because sometimes things could just set you off. And you know what? That confidence level could drop for a little bit, but then you have to reapply the steps and the tools we've learned to get back to that level where you have that deep trust in you. Because if you don't, it will hold you back from reaching the goals and the aspirations and everything that you want to accomplish.
It's a lot, right? The importance of and I don't think I ever was really present to the importance of trusting myself.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question, right? How much do you trust yourself? Right?
Right.
How much do I trust that I'll be okay no matter what? You know, the other implication is fear.
Yes.
Right? How do we surrender our power to fear? How often are we operating out of fear, worry, doubt, concern? If we're living out of a place of like a primal state of being, fear, worry, doubt, right? And you live out of fear and that's what drives your actions.
Yeah.
You're going to have a different experience of life. And it's going to be one that I would say you're not going to be necessarily happy with because you're operating out of a constant state of fear. How can you be fully happy and fulfilled and excited about life if you're constantly operating out of a place of fear, worry, concern, and doubt? Exactly. I'm not saying that having a healthy dose of consideration, right? Mm-hmm. Prepare for the worst, hope for the best. Definitely a mantra my father has impressed upon me. I am absolutely familiar with change. And having to adjust to these big shifts in life. I remember I grew up on an island in Savannah, Georgia, but a small island in Savannah, had a tight-knit community, really had a fortunate upbringing, but then was left home, unfortunately, in the middle of my senior year in high school. January 7th in 1994, the middle of my senior year in high school, completely uprooted, moved all the way across the country, and landed and finished high school in a whole new city with knowing no one at all.
Right.
So all of my friends, family, et cetera, everything that was familiar, the ocean. I grew up kind of like Huck Finn with a motor. in the intercoastal waterway. That was all gone. I moved to a desert in Tucson, Arizona. So it was a huge shift, right? And then later joined the Navy and went through boot camp in Chicago and A school in Pensacola, only to then serve out of Japan.
Right.
I was forward deployed out of Japan 8 months out of the year. Massive shift.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, these are big shifts, and it took a lot. And I think that some of what those two examples have taught me is that I'll be okay, right? That in me is the ability to make a shift, be okay where I'm planted, and because I could trust myself and trust that I would be okay, I was always had that to lean on, and I think that's a powerful tool to be aware of.
Yes, I agree with you. Like I've even noticed, like even in the toughest times of my life, I always got through it. And while you're in the moment, it may be traumatic for you. It may be overwhelming.
Sure.
But if you think about it, we've always gotten through it, you know, and we've moved on. You know, it's just when we're at the moment, you know, being able to adjust to that change, being able to, you know, reset your mindset, you know, so you can change in a productive manner, you know, and because that's when the test is when it's happening, you know, all right, how am I going to approach this, you know, and not let it get the best of me?
I would say, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you feel like you grew in a positive and healthy way out of the difficult challenges that you went through in your upbringing or at some point in your life?
Oh, definitely. I think that I became stronger as a person. I started to see people in a different set of eyes. I had more empathy, more love towards other people. My level of kindness increased. I was able to really, you know, if I fell back, I fell on the floor, I was able to get myself back up. You know, I struggled maybe, but I was still able to do it. And I realized from all the events that happened in my life, each and every time that I went through it, no matter how hard it was emotionally or physically, I got myself through it and I'll get myself through it again. And I just had to keep telling myself and just taking time out to meditate, to clear that mindset, to really get myself to that level of calmness where I could think clear. But I definitely think it made me a better person, and it put me on a journey that I did not even think I was going to be on. And I think sometimes I think we go through these things in life for a reason. You know, we may not understand why at the time, but I think everything that happens to us, it happens for a reason, because at the time it may not have been the greatest thing, but in the end, it made me better in many ways.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I couldn't love that answer more. It's so true. You're right there with it, with this answer. That's so great. And it's true, right? I think we all, breakdowns and breakthroughs. And I'm not saying that all of our, you know, the listeners should be, you know, throwing themselves into this massive tumultuous shift and so forth. But I am saying that look for the opportunity in the challenges, look for the opportunity in contrast.
Yeah.
When I talk about contrast, like I couldn't stand traffic and I'd get agitated and frustrated. And I'm not saying I would go.
I think every man thinks that. Like, I don't
have anything.
Drive on the road.
Yeah, but I would be frustrated, and I had a whole narrative around how did I wind up here in this traffic when I work from home and have freedom of time. But it became a tool that where I could practice patience, and so I think that there's something to right. I really relate. Adventure motorcycle riding helped me to heal through a difficult time as a father, and that's a lot of my methodology and my mindset. That's where my book came from, is my relationship to adventure really to help me to heal.
Yeah.
And I derived a lot of value from intentionally engaging in some challenging scenarios.
Right.
So they don't have to be huge scenarios, but they can be simple.
Yes.
Right? They can have a mitigated level of risk.
Right.
And when we do that, again, we kind of go back to, man, there's a lot of opportunity to just cultivate a deeper level of trust in ourselves and others, and we'll be okay. And that helps us to kind of embrace change in a new light and in a new way, knowing that we'll be okay. And there's something to be excited about on the other side of that kind of that challenge. And I think that's what's worthwhile. And that's what we should kind of keep our sights on and do it intentionally, because it's readily available.
And I love the idea that, you know, when you went motorcycle riding or you went on a journey, you know, it took you to a whole different level, you know, where you just saw life from a whole different aspect. And it brought you to that level of calmness and joy and freedom. And, you know, it's things that you couldn't receive when you're in that car, in that traffic, you know, it just took you out of all that. And it brought you to a happier, you know, level of life.
Well, 100%. And again, I wouldn't assert that everybody should ride a motorcycle. It's incredibly dangerous. But it did do something for me. It did play a role for me. I mean, it kind of connected me. I had never heard of adventure motorcycle riding. I have a pretty high self-preservation reflex. I really don't want to do anything overly crazy, although I do like to, you know, stretch a little bit intentionally.
Right. Yeah.
But there's no doubt that when I discovered adventure motorcycle riding, and by definition, you know, an adventure is getting uncomfortable and exploring the unknown and seeking excitement. And I spent a number of years really unpacking what that really meant to me, because I did notice that as I did purchase an adventure motorcycle, it's kind of a big street legal dirt bike, and go on some journeys, I did notice that it helped me to heal and grow stronger for the road ahead as a father. And so I was like, well, what's in this that's that matters to others, and why is it important? So there's something there, and it's really what I'm passionate about.
I think when you bring joy to your life, no matter what it is, I think it changes you. It just it takes you out of that space, and it puts you in a different you know, a different light, and it could take, you know, it could actually reset you, you know, and it definitely can reset you, I think.
Yeah, there's no doubt. In ways that we wouldn't otherwise suspect, and I think that's the beauty. When we give life, when we give people the space and the permission to surprise us in ways that we didn't suspect, right? Yeah. So when we kind of explore the unknown and we create inside of us and outside of us, we kind of hold the space for something that we didn't expect to show up.
Yeah.
And there's a level of curiosity in it. And there's beauty in that space where the universe, where God gets to show up in a beautiful way.
Because
there's no doubt, I don't care who you are, there's no doubt that life has not always turned out the way that we thought it would.
Right.
So there's no level of managing life and it's going to show up exactly as you constructed it and manufactured it and engineered it. Like, it's just not how life works.
Right.
So when we allow for a margin of unknown, and we hold the space for that, and we're kind of curious and getting kind of excited about what's going to show up.
Yeah.
And that's where really a lot of the beauty is. That's where the beauty of others,
right?
Where we give pause and allow space for people that may not look like us or have the same faith as us or have a different political, religious view, whatever. When we actually get to know the human, and we're just operating out of just curiosity and love, and we'll engage in an uncomfortable conversation and let people show up, that can be really fun.
Oh, yeah.
Or experiences that we would not otherwise do, but we do them, and they're like, wow, that was way more fun than I anticipated. Or you derive various values and rewards from various things like that, that I think is really the sweet stuff of life.
Yeah, you know, you said something really important, you know, not judging someone for their political opinion or their religious, you know, beliefs, and just looking at the person and just developing that bond with that person according to that person, who they are as a human being. You know, let's take all those labels and everything else away, and then let's just look at them as a human being, you know, and take all that earthly, you know, crap that we've been, you know, given, and just look at them as a human. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what their beliefs are. You know, it matters who they are as a person. And I think we've over time we've lost a lot of that. You see people judging people for, you know, who they believe in, who they vote for, and all this other, you know, crap. And it's really all about, you know, look at the person, look at, you know, who they are, what kind of heart they have, you know, the kindness in that person, maybe the funny stories, they have a good sense of humor, you know, and just enjoying to get to know that person as a human being and not judge them because they're not like you or the way you think they should be.
100%. I feel like you and I could have this conversation all day long. and we have. But that's right. I mean, it's so quick to, you know, cut the tie or to shut it down, or too quick to not engage, to make the decision not to engage, versus, you know, maybe we make a little bit of a shift, a 2-millimeter distinction, where we're more willing to embrace getting a little uncomfortable out of curiosity of what if.
Yeah.
How can I, and what if are two beautiful questions that I carry with me on a regular basis. I was talking about it earlier before this show here, and I think they're critical. What if, and how can I?
Yeah.
Versus why not, and this is why it's not going to happen, and this is why it's not going to work, and this is how it's going to go, and I got it all figured out. No one can predict the future.
Nobody.
It's never been done, and I know there's some people back in history with, you know, so-and-so predicted this occurrence, but generally speaking, across the history of time, no one can predict the future.
No.
And I think that there's a beauty that we rob ourselves of when we maintain status quo, we maintain the same routines, and we shut down opportunities and possibilities to engage in amazing conversations and connect with other people. Invariably, we share something in common with everyone.
Yes,
exactly. If we're willing to get to the point in the conversation to understand that and connect with people in that way. It's just so worth it. It's just so beautiful to connect with people where you go, oh, it might have taken half an hour of conversation, and then you realize, oh my God.
Yeah.
I didn't know we went to the same high school.
Right. Exactly.
You know, Miss Satterfield, you know, or whatever, right? Like, you know, there's always a shared occurrence in some way, form, or fashion, or something that you can empathize in.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And really, you hear something that you would have never known about somebody, and it really connects and registers with you in a powerful way. So getting uncomfortable and allowing some space and exploring the unknown, again, kind of going back to that relationship adventure, really helps to provide some of those opportunities for more meaningful connections and more rewarding connections and conversations.
You know, even I went away for a while, and I was just in an area that I haven't been to in a long time, and just going away, and I was by the water, and it was just a relaxing atmosphere. it just changed me. Then I came home and my head started hurting. It was like, you come back to the world and all the everything, the responsibility. I'm like, oh, I got a headache. I don't know why, and then you're in a relaxing or adventurous setting and you're just enjoying it. You're soaking it up, And then you come home to life and then you start worrying about everything that, your life, surround you by. And it's the question is, how do we change that? How do we not let, our life and our responsibilities get the best of us? How do we just enjoy life and just enjoy ourselves and enjoy our family and just live that life of gratitude and not so much have to worry? And as we change, because we are a change in society, make positive changes and better ourselves and better, be mentors, because we were talking about, being a boss or being a mentor, when we talked about business early on before we came on the show, but we all could be mentors. You don't even have to be in a business. Let's be a mentor, and just work with positive change. If we could feed off each other's positive changes in life, the world would be such a better place.
You touched on a key point, gratitude. I created a practice and it's a practice. I'm not always great at it. Sometimes I'm out of practice and then I can feel it and tell and I got to get back into practice. But it's the practice of gratitude.
Yeah. Right?
The impact of the practice of gratitude is positivity. And in this social narrative that can be so negative and heavy and pessimistic, couldn't we all use a little bit more positivity? I mean, this is old ancient wisdom, the value, and modern wisdom, the value of gratitude, like taking the time. I call it bookending my days in the morning and at night. Doesn't take a lot of time, but just being present to the fact that I can see, I'm looking at a camera right now, but when I take my eyes a little bit over here, I can see you on that camera, right? Mm-hmm. I can see, I can, I can feel, I can hear, I can smell, I can taste, right? Like my legs work and I don't have to tell them to. All of these things, these simple things, I can just be present to being grateful for.
Yeah.
And that really helps just our well-being in general. In this kind of, again, this social narrative that can be so heavy and pessimistic and negative, taking the time to spend some time to invest in connecting with what we're grateful for. I have a car. I have a cool home in a hot summer, right? That kind of simple. That really kind of changes the posture of our heart and has a positive difference in our well-being ongoing. And it may sound kind of a wooey or whatever, but it's important and it makes a difference. And so you can choose not to do that or choose to do that, but I promise if you practice spending a little bit of time in gratitude, it makes a world of difference. And then second point that just came up for me was our values. Mm-hmm. When I think that one of the big things I'm present to right now, both in the workforce and everyday life, in our personal lives, is change fatigue.
Yeah. Right?
This rapidly changing world, people are being asked to adjust constantly to how things function. Either all the way down to what kind of connector goes in my phone. Oh, it's a C connector. Oh, it's a Lightning connector. Good Lord, I don't even know what platform to go on to watch my favorite TV show. You don't just turn your TV on anymore.
Right.
Oh, I got to go to Hulu or Netflix or what? Oh, that's on Prime. Man, I'm worn out just trying to, watch a TV show. And I think that one of the things when we are being tasked by the world we live in to change constantly, kind of adjust and pivot, there's a lot of inconsistencies. That's why people, I think, really like their routines a bit, is knowing what your values are.
Right.
Right? Like, if you know what you value, and you know what you really care about, and you have a kind of a vision of what you're really working towards, then you know what to say no to.
Yes.
And I think that's critically important.
Oh, yeah.
You got to know what to say no to so that you're not saying yes to everything.
Right. Exactly.
And that really eliminates a lot of pressure when you're, that's just not what I'm up to right now, which is a beautiful question. What are you up to right now?
Yeah.
You got to know what that is.
Right. You definitely do. You know, you should always, you know, I think journaling is great. And I think, you know, setting goals and setting short-term goals, long-term goals, where, you know, and a page of what are you up to now would be a really good page to sort of, you know, like, what am I capable of doing right now at this, you know, very time, you know, and then realizing where your limits are. If we can understand our limitations in life, then we know where, how far we can push ourselves and how far we can't push ourselves. Because one thing people hate is limitations, but we all have to have limitations in life in order to be successful and in order to live a healthy, happy life. We need limitations.
You know, when I hear you say limitations, I think of healthy boundaries.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, and knowing what those boundaries are.
Yeah.
It's okay to say no. It's really healthy to say no.
Yes, it is.
Learn how to practice, you know, saying no, because maintaining healthy boundaries is incredibly valuable. Yeah. And again, back to the culture and change in this rapidly changing world. Here, we're talking about some really critical things that really help us maintain a little bit more capacity. Right. Yeah. Where we don't feel like we're operating at 7,000 RPMs. Right. We can kind of dial it down, build in some bandwidth, and we're not just feeling so stressed and pressured. Right. So healthy boundaries, say no to some things that don't serve you well. You don't have to react to every demand and every sense of pressure point and everybody. Right. Yeah. Like some people you may need to say no to. And I know you may love them. And they may be old friends or whatever it may be, but you know, be careful about the healthy boundaries that you know what you're saying yes to, and maintain some healthy boundaries is certainly something that has been incredibly valuable for me, and I've noticed a significant shift in my friend groups and who and how I spend my time. It's been a beautiful, because I wasn't always like that, maintaining healthy boundaries.
Yeah, no, I wasn't either. And I didn't really like it in the beginning. You know, I was really uncomfortable with setting limitations because I kind of was that free spirit girl, you know, and, you know, I knew that I, you know, had to live a certain way in order to be healthy and to be happy. And I had to really change a lot of things in my life. And I needed to put healthy boundaries in my life. And I'll tell you, it was hard, because when you just want to be a free spirited person and just wing it and just, you know, live life to the fullest, you know, it doesn't always work that way. It's not always good for you, you know, and it's hard to do that. But in the long run, it's probably one of the best things you can do. And to the fact that you said, you know, it's okay to say no, that's one of the hardest things people have, you know, to do. Is so many people pleasers out there that are afraid to say no, but it's good to say no, because, you know, sometimes that it could really run you over the barrel, you know, and people also take advantage of those type of people because their kindness is so overbearing that people actually take advantage when they know, oh, that person will say yes, I'll get that person to do that, you know.
Goes back into trust, right?
Yep, goes back
We're
into
touching
trust.
On trust. Getting uncomfortable, positivity, anchoring in what we're grateful for. I mean, yeah, I wrestled with all of these things.
Yeah.
And found a lot of, you know, I found value through living adventurously, right? Through adventure. And through kind of figuring out why that helped me to heal for, you know, for the road ahead. And what was that? And there's no doubt there's so much commonality between the culture that we're living in and this rapidly changing technology focused era, and the impact all of that is having on our everyday lives. And, you know, again, kind of going back to, you know, how do we adjust and how do I not just surrender all of my power to just everything that's coming at me. Next thing you know, you're just, you're trying to dig out of a hole that shovel in your hand won't be able to do, won't be able to keep up with.
Right. Exactly. And sometimes, you know, running around trying to do everything for everybody, the last person you think of is yourself. And those are the people who get the most worn out. And, you know, they just, you know, it's, you can't help others unless you help yourself first.
It's a stereotypical kind of cliche with the airlines, right? But it's true.
Right.
Whether we like the cliche or not, it's true. Like we gotta take care of ourselves, both as individuals, as parents, you know, in the workplace. You know, I know that I had a corporate client, and they have a series of groups, and one of them are the caregivers business resource group, and these are people that are tasked with additional tasks of, you know, caring for elderly, caring for their special needs child, caring for what have you, right? Additional tasks. And so, you know, this company does a beautiful job of creating, and these are voluntary roles, this group that shows up to support these, is part of their team that are going through these additional challenges. And it's true. We got to allow ourselves to receive some help, yes, take care of ourselves so that we are the best version of ourselves, not always just reacting. Because right, that's all too often, I know personally, mm-hmm, I'm a very good survivor.
Yeah.
I survive very well. Mm-hmm. I'm durable. I'm resilient. I'm tough, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Resourceful, capable, smart. But surviving is no way to move through life. And next thing you know, you're later in years and you're wondering where in the world the time went and what do I do now?
And, right.
And so my encouragement would be to all of us, right? To you, me, and don't be a great survivor.
Yeah.
Figure out how to thrive and position yourself to really position yourself to in a path and dare to embark on a path and maybe uncomfortable and there may be a lot of unknown, but one that's aligned with what you really care about, and that may be as simple as just being willing to allow yourself to take care of you first and getting some exercise, going for a walk, saying no to something that, you know, the kids or something for a moment, like, hey, I got to go, just go take a walk for a second. And you know, taking a walk is a beautiful, beautiful moment.
Oh yeah. It's very therapeutic. Definitely. It's definitely therapeutic. And I wanted to say something when you were saying, I'm trying to think if I could remember what it was. But it was like when you were talking about thriving instead of surviving, you know, I know what I was going to say is that, you know, a lot of times when we are trying to figure out what our true purpose is, you know, and we're trying to find, you know, it's not, you know, what we have right now is not fulfilling for us. And we know there's something else out there, but we don't know what. It's okay to try things and to have them not work out, you know, and people get really down in the dumps when it doesn't work out. It's just not the right thing. And so it's like, don't give up. Just keep trying until you find that thing that works. You know, some of the biggest entrepreneurs in the world had 5, 6, 7, 8 failures, you know, and they just kept going and going and going until they found that one thing that worked, you know, and brought them to the point where they are today. And that's how people should really think. Don't get hard on yourself and beat yourself to the ground, you know?
Absolutely the truth, and a great point. I mean, whether you're talking about entrepreneurs, and I know that people, the connotation, that story, that truth is has a stronger connotation to entrepreneurs, right? Where you have to try and try and try to find, and ultimately you kind of find the thing. And that's kind of the entrepreneurial story where it took a lot of effort and a lot of different tries. But I think it's also true for your job in the corporate world. I'm not, my whole family's pretty strongly self-employed, but my wife is very corporate, and her whole family is very corporate. Two different kind of ways of moving through life, professionally, and both personally as well. And that idea of being with the company for 20 years and retiring is really kind of not true, and it never has been. Statistically, it was like every 7 years. People had a new job and a new house.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. capital at risk.
Right.
That's just data, not my opinion. And right. I think that when we give ourselves permission to draw a healthy boundary for what may not be working, it doesn't mean vacate it, but maybe you kind of put your flag out there and say, I'm kind of like, you know, with your friend group and your network, and, you know, I'm not leaving. I'm pretty happy where I am, but maybe it could be better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, be curious. Maybe there's something else out there. And I think that when we're open, life has a way of showing up in surprising ways. And that's also a healthy boundary. Like, this isn't working for me, and I believe that something else that's better is possible.
Yeah, I agree. And that's happened many times in my life. And you know, and when it comes even to the journey of friendships, you know, I had a friend that said, you know, friends are not always meant to be in your life forever. They make their way in, and you journey with them. And sometimes you learn from each other, you grow with each other. But there are times when it gets to the point where you kind of separate, you know, but it's a natural thing. And you just, you know, you keep moving on and you make new friends and learn from each other. And it's just an ongoing journey, you know, after he's been here for a while, you know, he's just come to that conclusion of, you know, how life kind of takes its toll. You know, it's, you know, you're not always meant to be with the same group of people, and you're not always, you know, we change. Like we started this conversation, our needs, our wants, you know, the way we think change. And we just have to go with it and just go with the times, go with what our heart says. And I so believe that if we listen to our heart, it will guide us in the right direction.
And our true friends will be with us.
Yes.
Right. I think that's also true.
Yes.
Lord knows with the major shifts I've gone through in my life, I've seen friends come and go, like you're saying. I think that sometimes I've been a great friend. I've always intended to be a great friend, but there were times where I look back and I'm like, I wasn't being a great friend.
Right.
Could have been a better friend.
Right.
I didn't know what was happening in that moment. It was a traumatic moment. It was a big shift, and dang it. At the same time, there are true friends during those periods and in others where, you know, these go back 30, 40, 20 years where I've been friends with those people since I was a child,
right.
A young boy. And you know, the Navy was in 98, right? So, you know, I'm really close friends with my Navy buddy, who was my neighbor in A school, right?
Wow.
And he and I introduced him to his wife, and he just called me a little bit ago today. A really close friend of mine. And he was the only person in my wedding party that was not a relative. And that goes back from to 98, right? That's about 26 years ago.
Yeah.
And so, you know, trust.
Yes.
Allowing, right?
Allow. Yes.
And staying connected to what you're grateful for and true to your values, and let some things go. It's okay to let some things go, for sure, particularly in this rapidly changing world, which is the core of the conversation. You don't have to try to cling to everything that is in your life. I think some things it's okay to let go of. You're right.
Definitely. Now tell me about your book about Always Adventure. I don't know if everyone knows that you've written a book, but I wanted to have you like talk about it a little bit and tell everybody about your book.
That's a long conversation, but I'll keep it brief. I don't know that everybody knows that I've written a book, but I hope that everybody does, and I'm happy to talk about it. You know, the book is called Always Adventure, and it's really born out of, as I've kind of alluded to and mentioned, the hero's journey. You know, Joseph Campbell popularized the monomyth, the hero's journey, which most every story today and movie play is based on the hero's journey. And the part of the hero's journey, you know, the participant, the subject is kind of invited into this experience. They kind of resist it. It's a challenge. And then they kind of go into this dark night of the soul. And I was a passionately committed father. I spent 6 years as a single father. I did remarry, and my son started to struggle. when he was 15, no, sorry, when he was 12, going into fifth grade and sixth grade. And so he spent 6 years in this kind of battle. I couldn't save him alone. It didn't matter how much I studied and read. And that was really a challenge for me. Like, I couldn't save my son from the pain of his own experience and his challenges. And we had to get help. And that was really hard to do. And it took its toll on me. And I knew that at some point, as I was struggling, just emotionally as a father, watching my son go through this painful experience, this hardship, I had to get help and grow stronger for the road ahead. That's when I discovered adventure motorcycle riding. And I'd never known that world. I'm from the coast. You can see from the nautical behind me. I grew up and had my first boat at 13 and as on the intercoastal waterways as a kid. And so I knew nothing really of motorcycles. And ultimately caught a YouTube video, started watching immersed myself in adventure motorcycle riding. It helped me to heal and grow stronger for the road ahead. And I started to ask, like, why is that? And why is it important? And what difference does it make, in the world around us? And so I put together these practices and this framework. And I feel really passionate about the outcomes that I think that these practices support and, change and positivity and trust and insight and energy. Yeah, these are core things that I think a lot of people can derive a lot of value from that are super relevant today. So I sat on a mission to kind of authentically share my story and these valuable practices.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Where can people find your book?
It's on Amazon. It's an Amazon bestseller. I'm excited to say it became a number one Amazon bestseller, and you can find Always Adventure on Amazon.
That's awesome. You mentioned positivity a couple of times in this conversation. I gotta say, positivity is key. I would never have gotten through so many of the things I went through in life if I didn't have a positive attitude. And that's what brought me through everything. It gave me just an unbelievable inner power to get me through all the ups and downs that I've experienced in life. Positivity is really powerful.
At the end of the day, the point of the book is to be a story of hope, healing, and transformation. I hope that our listeners go to Amazon, order the book. It's a quick read, and I hope that it's entertaining. It's certainly my heart. It was very difficult for me to kind of be that kind of vulnerable to really share my heart and soul in those pages. I'm proud of it. So I hope that that's what people experience if they go to Amazon and order the book. And certainly you can go to alwaysadventurelife.com and learn a little bit more. And we have these amazing roundtable experiences and a couple other offerings for people. But at the very least, certainly I'd love for people to go check out the book.
And what services do you provide? So people know exactly the services that you provide for everybody.
Primarily, it's these roundtable experiences. It's a one-year experience. The intention is to leverage the power of an intimate view, having a shared experience over the course of time. So we have the fall semester. It's a year-long experience, right? 6 to 8 people. There is a screening process. I'm looking for the right fit. We want to be able to trust each other in that group, right? It's not about whether you can contribute. I believe that everybody in a roundtable has a lot to offer. But can you also receive? And so we're really talking to, it's a good fit for people that are going through a change. They're in the middle of that, or they want to cause a change.
Right.
So kind of the core of this conversation, I think a lot of people get to a point in life where they're want to make it, or they a shift, or they're finding themselves in one, and they want a good counsel that they can trust, good tribe of men. And so these roundtables are really effective, really move the needle, help you to feel connected. And there's a framework that we engage in along the way. So the roundtables are great. Fall semester's coming up. Not a lot of opportunity there, but there is limited availability there. And then again, that's the Adventureman Roundtable offering. And then we have a business offering as well for kind of cohorts within business.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, if you had to take today's conversation and you wanted to give a couple of takeaways, you know, what are some of the things you'd like to emphasize?
Embracing, right? And being willing to engage at the very least. When we allow ourselves to kind of be open, it's really the catalyst for all change. When we believe in a new possibility, we're not sure maybe of what it's going to look like or how it's all going to work. When we allow ourselves to engage, that's where it all begins. Yes. And I think that's the precipice for having the experience that we're really looking for and really connecting with things that are more meaningful to ourselves.
I love that. I love that so much. This has been amazing, Andy. I love when you come on the show. You have such great insight and you just are a positive person. And you just, you know, I could feel the positive energy just when I talk to you, you know, and you're doing so much good in society. You know, you took your life experiences and you turned it into something really powerful, really good, you know, that could help others, you know, improve their lives. So I really am grateful, you know, that you're on our show, that you become part of our community and that you are here to really help others and give them the knowledge they need so they can move forward in life. So thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure talking with you. And thanks for the platform and always thanks for the conversation. It's always enjoyable and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And you have a great day.
You too.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.